Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Ken down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk with Wisconsin Conservation Warden Aaron Kashatka, and also with DNR wildlife biologist Josh Siegel. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get on the water today with the Lund Catch of the Year at Hayward Power Sports. We have Lunds in stock, rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $1,000 on a 1650 Angler SS, $2,500 on a Lund Impact, or a whopping $3,000 on a 1975 Pro V Sport. Lund features boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. And no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu, and while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're down in Hayward Bait and Bottle recording with Ken as we're talking here. We're just beginning the muzzleloader season, which runs until next week, right?
Yeah.
In looking at the muzzleloader season, I think there'll be some second rut activity out there. I know that the rut ran late this year. It seemed like it went mostly through the whole season. I was seeing bucks chasing does away at the end of the season.
Yeah, according to my research online, the primary rut started November 15th. That was the peak of the initial rut.
You know, and that kind of goes, this year seemed to drag on, and hopefully there'll be a second rut, you know, sometime toward the end of the muzzleloader season. Anyway, I think there was some nice deer taken. The conditions were a little bit cold, but we had snow, which is a good thing.
Yeah, the snow helped out, but then the warm temperatures kind of thawed a lot of it, and then the snow became crunchy, so it made it a little more difficult for the deer to travel safely during daylight hours.
Well, let's talk a little bit about ice conditions out there. I mean, I know the ice, we had a few guys out, there's been a few people out. I've had reports anywhere from 2 to maybe 4 inches of ice, but I don't know what happened after them warm days.
I haven't heard today once I got back from hunting over the weekend, but mainly you're right, 2 to 4. They were getting on Nelson Lake. They were getting on a couple few bays on the Chippewa Florge and a couple lakes up, you know, by Drummond. So expect some snow, and hopefully it blows off so the ice conditions continue to develop.
Yeah, well, it's pretty slick ice, so maybe it will blow off, because you get a bunch of snow on that ice when you only got 2, 3, 4 inches of ice out there, and it can really impact how we develop our ice for the winter.
That's true. There have been, you know, like looking years past, I mean, the snow was so deep and it sunk the ice, and there was a bunch of water between the snow and the ice, and, you know, it just makes for bad ice conditions all winter.
You know, not only hard to get around, it gets a little scary when you fall through that first layer. You don't know if it's the first layer or second layer or if you're going through.
Yeah, actually, I was, there was like 6, 7 inches of ice, and I decided to walk from an area out on Le Coudre, and actually my pick went through on a crack in the ice, and I thought it was just going through the first layer, but no, there was an actual shift in the ice conditions and created a heave.
Well, you know, and if anybody's not fell through a slush pocket out there and stuck a snowmobile or a machine, it's miserable trying to get it out, because you know, they weigh a ton when they get the track and stuff full of that slush.
Yeah, you actually need they have a system where you can drill a hole and wench yourself out. I've heard of guys getting their quads out pretty regularly up on Lake of the Woods with them.
Yeah, well, I carry, a lot of guys use just a piece of pipe with a ring on it, and they drop it through a hole, so it's sideways. I carry what's called ice angels. They drop down the hole, and they teeth on it and grab the hole. And if I'm, you know, could depend on what machine I got out there, I got a winch on it, or if I'm a snowmobile, I carry a compact come-along, because I'm not going to try to get it out of there without that.
Yeah, you ain't going to shovel yourself out, that's for sure.
And talk about getting out there on first ice safety. It's important that you know, go out there. Best advice is don't fish alone, because you always want somebody out there because you don't know what's going to happen. There is really no such thing as totally safe ice, I guess.
Yeah, every year you read a report, so it'd be over a foot of ice and vehicles are going through. So ice is all about color, density of the ice, and air pockets and melting snow on top, and it can affect the strength of the ice.
Yeah, I don't know. Northern Minnesota, I know that's where you grew up at. That seems to get ice a little earlier than us. And I know some of the guys are out over there, I'm hearing. But here, we're just getting going. And, you know, if the guy's going out there, I mentioned, go along. But carry ice picks with you. I mean, you got them in the store here or anything to get yourself back out if you want. And the biggest thing I tell people nowadays with the advent of all these float suits. I mean, almost everybody, Clam and Striker, and I could go out Prey Bowl, they all have float suits, and they're reasonable enough price. But, you know, even if you think it's high price, what's your life worth? You fall through with these things and you don't sink.
Well, for the guys or women that are really, really adventurous, you might want to invest in one of them, because then you can tell how good they work once you do fall through.
You bet. Well, I've seen some videos where people actually jump in to prove the point, and they float you horizontally. But they're not a life jacket, but what they do is they allow you to crawl back or roll back up on the ice, because you're floating on more on top of the water rather than trying to get the rest of your body up out of that hole on top of the ice. So it's a big safety thing. Let's talk about that first ice fishing. Most of the guys go after walleyes, and it'd be a lot of things with tip-ups out there.
Most of the fish are shallow on first ice. There seems to be a lot of the shallower weeds are getting a lot more sunlight, creating more oxygen. The ecosystems seem to be a lot stronger until the snow gets so deep, and then you'll have like moon phases that develop a muck life in the deeper basin that seems to be active, and so the fish will kind of move out a little bit deeper. But till probably January this week,
you bet. Well, you know, this year has been a shallow pattern. A lot of these fish have been up shallow because of, I think, just everything's so late, and that's where the food is, up shallow. So don't be afraid to set your tip-ups in 3, 4, 5 feet of water even. But the thing, too, is that we've talked about it on previous shows. You want to, you know, don't make a lot of noise, because when you're in that shallow water after the first ice, the fish will get real spooky. They'll get out of that area if you start making a lot of noise.
I usually chase walleyes, and I try to have my holes drilled by 3 o'clock, and then usually have your limit by 5, but you do have to be quiet.
You bet. And pan fishing actually should be pretty decent out there, too. I mean, not a lot of guys go after them, but all the fish are up in shallow water most of the time. There'll be fish up in the shallower. Not all of them, but there'll be some fish out deep, too. But you won't get at them deeper fish because of ice conditions usually this early. But there'll be enough fish up. Just about every species of fish will be up shallow.
Yeah, pan fish, what you want to do is, providing the ice conditions will allow it, but make a grid pattern and just hole hop. And if you just drill a couple holes and then drill some other holes, a lot of those fish will vacate. So grid pattern and then hole hop, and you'll do a lot better.
You know, and your sonar is important out there. I mean, if you got a good sonar, it went from where we didn't have anything. I was growing up to where we had flashers, and now we've got, you know, graphs with GPS, and I'm running Garmin LiveScope out there, which basically you can look out away from the hole and see fish. I mean, it's amazing what's changed out there, and shacks too.
Yeah, you showed me your setup the other day on your LiveScope system. I mean, those fish, they don't have as well of a survival chance with you on the ice now.
Well, you know, thankfully, we don't only keep so many fish. We throw a lot of fish back, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people start doing. We talk about that on the show here. How many fish do you really need to keep? And if you really want a bunch of meat fish to eat, there's a lot of northern pike, and they can stand a lot more harvest than the panfish and the walleye can.
Actually, in the wintertime, the northerns taste pretty good. They don't have that fishy taste, and especially if you get into a lake where the walleye flays or have a little pinkish color to them, they're actually really, really good.
You bet. You know, and I talk about down here at the shop, you guys are geared up for everything. I'm looking down through a bunch of fish shacks. You got a whole roll full of ice shacks. You've got all the gear they need.
Yes, we do. Got a couple more orders coming in. Otherwise, the store will be completely set, ready for the ice anglers.
Well, interesting stuff. Thank you for taking the time here.
All right. Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Wisconsin DNR Conservation Warden Aaron Koshoska. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Sea-Doo pre-order sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. The best way to guarantee a new 2023 for next year and the only way to get the Sea-Doo RXPX Apex 300 Exclusive Edition. As a bonus, you'll get 2 years of BRP warranty coverage for free. Whether you're looking for a traditional Sea-Doo personal watercraft or a Sea-Doo Switch pontoon boat, this is the best way to get what you want. Or we still have a few 2022 models in stock that offer no payments and no interest financing for 6 months. See Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, with the ice fishing season just getting underway now, on this week's show, we've got Conservation Warden Aaron Koshoska on here to talk about ice safety and a lot more. Aaron, you know, we're getting into that ice fishing season. I don't know, as we're sitting here, we just got past a big snow, which kind of can mess up the ice some. You can be awful careful out there, I think, people going out early.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was out actually working through the deer season here, and I was actually checking some ice fishermen, believe it or not, on Monday. And what they had told me is they were actually out on Nelson Lake. There was about 6 inches, 4 to 6 inches out there. But I'm still driving around now and I'm seeing open water. So yeah, it really depends on where you're at. But no, this snow is definitely going to put a damper on, you know, building some of that good ice that we need. But yeah, as far as that goes.
You know, well, I talked to people. I had somebody tell me they saw somebody running around out there with a side-by-side, which is completely crazy. But and he said that wherever the snow was, there was less ice, it seemed like, you know, where you had, you know, bare ice, where they're building a little bit more ice up. And the DNR actually has some recommendations. I think they say 4 inches, isn't it, for minimum of foot travel?
Well, we actually don't promote or, excuse me, tell people when ice is safe and when it's not.
There's no such thing as safe ice.
There's no such thing as safe ice, right? But yeah, generally right now, right, everyone, you're going to want to be careful when you're going out there. Some things you want to have with you, you know, a spud bar, some ice picks, definitely some ice cleats. I could have used those on Monday when I was out there walking around. But yeah, this snow is essentially going to insulate that ice and potentially cause some issues. But yeah.
Well, you know, and it'll cause some slushy issues too. Another safety item, and I talk about this on the radio show all the time, is that we've got just about every manufacturer out there makes these floating suits or float suits. Now, they're not life jackets, but heck, I even wear them in the late fall when I'm out there in a boat, because if you do go in the water, at least you can, through the ice, you can get back out, because you basically hold you horizontal more so, and you're able to roll up on top of the ice than ice, because, you know, a person getting out of that once they break through is very difficult. I've never had it happen, but I've talked to people that have, and it's not easy.
Yeah, no, we actually wear those throughout the winter while we're snowmobiling, out checking ice fishermen, things like that. I know the brand I wear, I've got an FXR jacket. Mine's essentially a float coat. We're issued a bunch of float coats, and then my bibs actually have flotation in them. But yeah, absolutely, I highly recommend those. We actually have some that we keep up along the Great Lakes that some of our staff up there use while they're out. And we all went up there on a training, and essentially the hot pond up in Ashland, we would go out to the edge and break the ice in these suits, and you'd fall through and you pop right back up. So yeah, it's definitely worth the money. I would highly recommend anybody wearing them. They're also warm, so yes, that's a nice thing.
Well, you know, and there's good prices now. They were expensive, really expensive, and now they've come down, and there's a bunch of them out there. You know, talking about safety equipment, there's another, I can't remember the name of it, but there's another device that's made in northern Wisconsin here that a lot of the guides, especially in the Great Lakes, are running that on the back of their snowmobiles and ATVs. It's a flotation raft that you, if you know you're going through, you pull a handle on it and it'll float two or three people, plus it'll float the snowmobile or the machine underneath it.
Yeah, you know, I have not actually seen one of those. I have heard of them. I haven't seen one, though.
Yeah. But I tried to get the guy on that makes them. I was going to get him on because it's an interesting, an expensive thing. But, you know, let's put it this way. If you drop a side-by-side through the lake, the DNR is going to make you get it out. I know that, right?
That we are, yeah. They essentially have 30 days to get it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that can get expensive if you have to hire a diver. So the raft all of a sudden becomes a cheap item out there. You know, you're seeing people out there ice fishing. What can you tell people as far as getting out there now? You already said be careful out there, but what are you hearing as far as the fishing, and what do you expect to see out there?
As far as the fishing goes, I've seen and heard that a lot of nice walleyes are being caught. That early bite is here, and yeah, I mean, it's very few between. I mean, I maybe talked to a dozen ice fishermen, if that. But yeah, that's kind of the word I'm getting.
You know, and it's going to get to where we're cold, and we get out there, we got all this equipment now, we've got all these heated shacks and stuff. The other thing a person must be careful is make sure that if you got that heater in that shack, that you make sure there's plenty of fresh air going in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of these are running off of propane and whatnot too, so make sure, you know, your door is zipped a quarter of the way open, or you've got a window or two open, right? Carbon monoxide and whatnot's not a healthy thing to be breathing in, so yeah, just be careful as far as that goes.
Well, until you've had carbon monoxide. I used to be a hot rodder years ago, and I got a good dose of carbon monoxide poisoning working the car, and you get sick, and I had a friend of mine who was guided, and he was up on Lake Superior years ago. He told me about this. He got out there, and he was out like several miles out, and he caught himself, but he was ready to pass out. He got out through the shack, and he laid there on the ice for a while, wondering whether he was going to be able to get back to shore because it gassed him out. He got too much carbon monoxide, so that's a thing. Now, some of the new heaters now are supposedly have oxygen depletion shutoffs in them, but that still doesn't eliminate the carbon dioxide, I don't think.
Right. No, and I would still recommend, you know, keep those windows open. I know it might cause a little bit of a breeze, but hey, I tell you what, that's better than passing out on the ice.
You bet. So, as far as the fishing, getting out there, are you expecting more people out this year? Because the last few years, it seems like we got more and more and more people, not only on our lakes in the summertime, but in the wintertime too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we will have more people this year. You know, I think people were still cooped up, and actually after seeing a pile of people opening weekend of gun season, probably more than I've seen in the past couple of years opening weekend, I'm going to say we're going to have a lot of ice fishermen this year.
When traveling on the ice, a lot of snowmobiles, a lot of UTVs, side-by-sides, ATVs, do they have to have trail passes if they're out there ice fishing, or what's the deal at on snowmobiles, for instance?
Yeah, so if they're operating within that trail corridor, essentially they would, but if they're not on that corridor going across the lake or whatnot, they wouldn't need a trail pass. They still need to be registered, but yeah, as far as the trail pass goes, that's kind of how it works on a lake.
But if you're even on the trail going across the lake, then you have to have it, right?
Yes, you're supposed to. You know, there's that gray area, that fine line as far as, you know, how far can you actually go without needing it, but that'd be a conversation for another day.
I've had people also talk to me and tell me that you can't, if you like plowing spots out on the lake or anything, plowing. Is there any regulations a person needs to be aware of there or anything?
So there's not any regulations that I'm aware of that restricts you from plowing ice. However, you know, that brings in that civil aspect where you may be liable if somebody gets hurt from that. But as far as that goes, that's a civil thing. So
yeah. I thought there was actually a law that prevented you from being liable on that. I'm not sure. But anyway, the ice fishing, you think it's going to be good out there this year? Now let's talk a little bit about the hunting seasons and how you wrapped up the fall. Was you pretty busy out there?
Yeah, opening weekend was actually really busy. I've seen a lot of people out and about. Vehicles parked at almost every public spot that I drove to. A lot of private folks out. I've seen a lot of weird plates this year that I don't generally see. Idaho, Texas, Wyoming, things like that. So,
wow.
Yeah, there was a lot of people up here opening weekend. And then it pretty much died off after that. So,
It was a pretty cold opening weekend too. I'll tell you what. And I talked to the wildlife biologist here on one of the shows too about what the harvest was and everything else. But as far as other hunting, was there a lot of people grouse hunting, for instance, and any other hunting up here you saw?
You know, we came across a couple folks actually out grouse hunting during the gun deer season. Couple guys were out waterfowl hunting. And as far as that goes, that was pretty much all I saw. But yeah, after Tuesday, obviously waterfowl season closed then for ducks. Goose is still open, but I didn't see anybody out there duck hunting after that, right? So that's a good thing.
Right.
But no, that's kind of how it went. Yeah, it was a good year. It was a good year. I saw some nice bucks. Heard of a lot of nice bucks shot around Hayward area. And yeah, so.
A little better than the fishing year. The fishing year seemed to be a little bit slow for some reason. I think we've talked about that quite a few times, about the amount of food in the lakes and stuff. Yeah. I don't know, as we wrap up here, anything that you kind of want to get across to people out there as far as making sure you got the right equipment or anything like that?
Yeah, again, if you're going ice fishing, just be cautious. Make sure you're checking that ice as you go, right? No ice is safe ice. Make sure you let somebody know where you're going prior to going out. Watch the weather. You know, things can turn bad in a hurry, especially if you're out, say, a mile or whatnot from these landings. A couple other things I do want to touch on real quick is our archery season ends January 8th, and we do not have an extended archery season here in Sawyer County. And then the muzzleloader season ends December 7th. And last thing, we do have a statewide antlerless season, which runs from December 8th through December 11th. And during that time, no antler deer can be harvested, whether that be, you know, archery, right? But that is a statewide season. But as far as that goes, last thing, your bear and turkey application deadlines, those are due December 10th at 11:59 p.m., essentially midnight. So make sure you get those in.
Yeah. And lastly here, the muskie season, they changed that to the end of December, you know, but you can't fish through a hole in the ice.
Correct. Yes, that is in the regs. So, yep, that is true.
As long as you can find open water to float your boat or get out there and waders, you're legal. Well, Aaron, I appreciate you taking the time here to talk to us, and we'd like to get you on here more often.
Absolutely. No, thanks, John. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to Wisconsin DNR wildlife biologist Josh Siegel. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control. A day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, with the hunting season's wrapping up now, on this week's show, we're talking to Wisconsin DNR wildlife biologist Josh Siegel. Josh, what's your take on the hunting season so far this year?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, John. So, the 2022 gun deer season here wrapped up. You know, similar to past years, we see most of our hunting effort over opening weekend. A lot of people that travel to the area or hunt a little bit harder over that weekend. We did have some tough weather here for most of that weekend. High winds and snow on Saturday, I think, caused hunters to get a little antsy, maybe not sit in the stand as long as they wanted to. And kind of even on that same line, deer activity seemed to kind of be a little bit slow. You know, deer held up in areas where they could see, get out of the wind, maybe high cover where they were protected. So Saturday was a little bit on the slow side. Sunday morning was real cold. I know, again, hunters kind of got antsy through the morning, but Then the banging really started through the midday. You know, deer started moving, sunshine came out, wind died down, and actually we had a pretty good gun deer season here locally. You know, we seem like we're trending in the right direction. A lot of bucks harvested. Antlerless deer seems like they're kind of on pace with previous years, but looked really, really good for this gun deer season. Same kind of thoughts that we've had in past years. You know, when you're seeing deer, you're seeing a lot of deer. You know, that good habitat that's really attracting them in, and in places that might have been a little bit poorer deer habitat still struggle to see deer, but that kind of goes with scouting out deer, your hunting location, yeah, etc. So I saw some pretty decent pressure throughout the week. Really seemed like, compared to previous years, the weather appeared to be pretty decent through the middle of the week. You know, stable, mild temperatures. It really warmed up Friday, Saturday of the back end of season, and I think that really got hunters back out, kind of starting Wednesday, Thanksgiving Day type thing through the end of the weekend, and seeing some nice deer being harvested. Even with that, you know, we caught the tail end of the rut, got a lot of reports from a handful of hunters shooting pretty decent bucks that were still chasing or cruising, looking for does through that breeding process. So that probably assisted with our buck harvest up here as well.
You know, and the other thing too, it seemed like the deer were growing some pretty good antlers this year. Is there something in particular that causes that really good antler growth?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with that, John, is we've had a couple winters here, especially with our mature adult bucks. Last winter was a little bit tougher, but the previous two, you know, the winter of 2021 and 1920 were very mild. You know, you talk about long-term averages on our winter severity index were very, very low. And what that does is it allows that deer to use less body energy over winter, which means in springtime that energy, where in a tougher winter might go to recouping their body energy, is now going to antler development. You know, their body's still at full size. So you get a nice mature buck that's in that, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, plus old category. They're coming out of winter in better condition and able to put a lot of that growth over spring and summer directly into their antlers. So we're seeing better antler development coming out of those little bit more mild winters. Again, last winter was a little tougher, relatively speaking, but a lot of those deer are already big, strong body size. That still doesn't impact them all that much.
You know, that's interesting information. You know, we've had it's a little early to get the full numbers out on the season right now as far as harvest, because we're still got, as we're recording this, we're muzzleloader season and the rest of the archery season. But are you seeing an increased impact on bucks from the archery season, because now we've got the crossbow stuff out there?
Yeah, just a little bit of a tick. You know, I think it's our archery season numbers are pretty stable. We're seeing a fair amount of deer being harvested every year. It's just how that archer is depending, or which weapon type that archer is looking at harvesting the deer. So a little bit of a slight uptick with the crossbow rule change years ago. And I think the other big thing to that is, you know, another opportunity for hunters. You know, they're out there looking for a reason to get in the woods in a nice time of year. But we do tend to see most of our archers, crossbow or traditional archery equipment, kind of being a little more selective with their antlered harvests. You know, maybe passing on some smaller deer to go after something larger and more willing to eat a tag, where a lot of our gun hunters, it's putting meat in the freezer. If you got a legal buck in front of you, you know, they're looking at providing some food for the family and filling that tag per opportunity. So it is definitely interesting, a little bit of a sentiment change here. And I think ultimately it comes down to that nicer time of year. You know, I think we all woke up Sunday morning of opening weekend and saw, you know, 2, 3, 4 degrees and kind of wished it was back to, you know, 35, 40 a couple weeks earlier.
I want to thank you for coming on here. A lot of great information.
Yeah, no problem, John. Thank you very much.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.